Just to pick up from last time, so we had been in the middle of discussing the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat. So what I'm going to do is just a review. It's been a couple of weeks to frame our conversation and then to move our discussion forward. There's so much here. I'm really just trying to touch on some of the foundations over the course of these 2 weeks. I'm probably going to leave it here for today so that we can cover some other sugyot in Tefillat HaShachar. But Yoter Mimasha Shalom Din Kan Katuv Kan. There's just a lot more in this sugya. It's a sprawling one, but hopefully we'll at least touch on the foundations. So just to review, we began with an overview of the basic Talmudic sources for this mitzvah. We looked at a variety of six different sugyot sprawling across Shas that address the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat, the Gemara here at home in Tefillat HaShachar, Gemara in Yuma, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara in Sukkah, Moed Katan, and so on. And essentially what we saw is that the straightforward reading of the sugyot together with the Midrashei Halacha is that this is indeed a mitzvah mideoraita. The predominant source seems to be drawn from a Tosefet Yom HaKippurim, and what we saw is that the beginning point for this discussion really emerges first and foremost from Tosefet Inui on Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara in Yuma, as well as Rosh Hashanah, extends from there to Tosefet Yisur Melacha with regards to Yom Kippur, and from there to Yom Tov and Shabbat as well. We saw an alternative view on the basis of the Machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael in the Sugya in Moed Katan and elsewhere, that an alternative possible source for the mitzvah Tosefet Shabbat comes from, not from Yom Kippurim, but interestingly enough for this year, Tosefet Shemitah, Tosefet Shviit, which we said at least once upon a time is a Chiyuv in HaTorah. Nowadays it's not even Midrabanan, it doesn't exist at all. So it's a fascinating sugya, but if you look at the practical Shemitah handbooks and so on and so forth, there's basically no discussion whatsoever of Tosefet Shviit because it's no longer in practice nowadays. 12 months a year is plenty in terms of contemporary Shemitah, and so that's left out. But as a matter of a theoretical principle, the Gemara leaves open the possibility that the source for Tosefet with regard to Shabbat indeed comes from, of all places, from Shviit. We said that therefore the overwhelming majority of you, or at least the solid majority view among the Rishonim, is that this is indeed a chiyuv min haTorah. The salient exception was the view of the Rambam. The Rambam seems to omit this in its entirety, both because in Hilchot Yom Kippurim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Vav, the Rambam completely, and Hilchot Shvitat Asor, the Rambam completely omits Tosefet with regard to Melacha in its entirety. Basically, the Rambam seems to paskin like the Midrashei Halacha on the face of them against some of the views in the Gemara and Yuma, and the Achronim have extensive conversation discussions how we account for this view. Put that together with the Rambam's explanation for the time that one can recite Kiddush and Avdalah, namely earlier, where the Rambam, instead of attributing that, it's in Hilchot Shabbat Perek Chavtet Halacha Yidal, for the Rambam, instead of attributing that to the mitzvah of Tosefet, but rather explaining that in fact one can recite Kiddush before Shabbos begins, and one can recite Havdalah before Shabbat ends, that there's the sense of imminency, that right at the beginning of Shabbat, at the conclusion of Shabbat, must be quote-unquote imminent, we called it, but not actually have arrived. Very counterintuitive in terms of how we think about the time for Kiddush and Havdalah. Shabbat need not yet have begun to recite Kiddush, Shabbat need not have ended for the Rambam to recite Havdalah, but the fact that he uses that explanation as opposed to using providing the basis coming from Tosefet Shabbat would seem to indicate that, again, he seems to pass on against this entire sugyot, and to in fact rule that there is no obligation, maybe even no kilim, or chalot, of Tosefet Shabbat. Many Achronim should reinterpret the Rambam. Lecha Mishnah suggests that the Rambam holds it to be the Rabbanan, but the majority of you, really, I think the face reading, and to me, the compelling reading of the Rambam, is that he reads this entire mitzvah off the map. We don't generally except that as a matter of practical halacha, as we know, we assume like Rav Rishon to mitzvah, and not just a mitzvah min haTorah, as opposed to the Rambam, as opposed to the Mordechai that we mentioned last time, who says that it's only mitzvah midravana. We seem to paskin like the majority of you that's in fact a chiyuv min haTorah. Nonetheless, that does seem to be the view of the Rambam against the majority of you. So that's a very quick version of what we discussed, but just to get us all back to speed. What I'd like to do today is to discuss two key issues. Number one, the minimum amount of time for the mitzvah of Tosefet and where that comes from. What are the svarot lechan alechan? And number two, the essence. What exactly is it that we are meant to add? And I'll elaborate that as we continue the discussion of that as well. So how much time do we have to add? Thoughts? What do we do? What do we assume?
40
is that Tosefet, or is that some sort of Chumrah in terms of when Shkia begins?
As far as I'm aware, that's not Tosefet. That's my impression, but by
By your leading of the witness.
Do we have a precedent for how long time?
Mm-hmm.
What it should be. Meaning.
Meaning other shiur, areas of halakha.
Right. Tana, there's a shiur for time.
No.
Whole Friday. Well, every Kippur, you have the whole day of eating, consider fasting.
Uh-huh. We'll see after you get married. We'll see how that's after the wedding. We'll see. We'll see what your answer is then. Okay. So
I
the
can't
truth is,
Friday it's Shabbos already.
Right. It's like when the Kollel started the Erev Shabbos. Remember that? The Kollel started the Erev Shabbos learning. Now before Shabbos, all the men were invited to come come and learn with their sons. Okay, so the truth is that there is indeed a range of views that are out there, going from essentially a kol shu, really, almost no time at all the way up until, if not 40 minutes, certainly half an hour in terms of the primary sources in the Rishonim. Where does this arise? So we have this entire spectrum. So first of all, there's a Tosos thing, Tosos in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Tes, as well as Talmidei Rebbe Nion. I didn't reproduce it here, but it's right here on the spot in Brachot. They say a kol shehu. So that's one view that we find, just a minimum amount. Interestingly enough, the Rush questions this assumption, both here as well as in Masechet Yuma. I'm not sure if it's reproduced here. I don't think they actually have it in these sheets. But the Rush disagrees. He says there must be some sort of shiur, but he doesn't actually identify the amount of time. So what exactly would that be if there's some substantial amount of time? So there's an intriguing tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, well, that he does not explicitly elaborate the view of the Rush. I think it could be used as exactly that. It's in Orachayim, a Siman, Chelek Aleph rather, Siman Tzadivav, and it's here on page 8. It's a beautiful tshuva. It's one of my favorites from Rav Moshe. And you'll soon see why. Just to tell you, before we even read it, Rav Moshe's opinion seems to basically be 2 minutes, and that may be a way of filling in the view for the Rush, but it's a beautiful tshuva for other reasons as well, so I just wanted to share it with you and to review together. So he starts, if you take a look on source 8, page 8 in the source sheets, so he writes as follows. He says, and apparently this is written to Malak, quote Yedidi Yirei Shamayim Rav Moshe Metzger. So he says, "Naneti ma'od." I was so much enjoyed. Asher malak vodo nizdariz l'kayim mitzvah tochecha l'fi da'ato. That my dear friend was so careful, was so diligent with the regard to the mitzvah of rebuke, in at least as he understood what the halacha had required. Uchuor chon chen chen malak vodo v'chas v'chalila li lahakpid baza v'im yirtz Hashem v'lo neder lo asa od mishar hadlakat nirot bakar. So what happened? So if you continue this shuvah, apparently what had happened is that someone was driving Rav Moshe to MTJ, right? In Lower East Side, where Rav Moshe was Rosh Yeshiva, within 18 minutes. Apparently if you take a look, you'll see that I think he says in the next column that day, four lines from the bottom of the middle column, he says, Vashkiya yitav b'farsha v'yitzei 4:32, right? And he was in the car at 4:19. So here we are, 13 minutes before Shkia, right? So we have plenty of time, but it's after the 18 minutes. And apparently this very from individual saw Rav Moshe and was horrified that the Rosh Yeshiva was in the car after the 18 minutes. And so he says, how could it be? And so on and so forth. And apparently he was Nizdariz L'Kayim Mitzvah Tochacha to Rav Moshe Feinstein. So this is just classic Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe says, I'm so honored and so appreciative of your commitment to halacha, of your willingness to be Mizdariz, to tell me what you think is right. The truth is that I don't have any issue with this. Someone who lights candles, that's one thing. I don't light candles in my home. I think it's completely halachically permissible to be traveling, and I have nothing to apologize for halachically whatsoever. Nonetheless, because I see that there's some sort of mired ayin here, I commit, b'li neder, from now on, that I'm not going to travel in this way ever again. That said, truth is that I don't think that there's any issue here. And he says explicitly, I think at one point that if you do the math, it adds up that he thinks that there are 2 minutes that are necessary. Because if you take a look at the bottom of that same place where I was reading, at the bottom of the second column, he says, Vashkiaita Befarsha Vayitse 432, Vahayu Oda Chad Asar Minutin Miharega Sheyashafti Bakarsha Haya 419, Oda Chad Asar Minutin Limulacha, Lechatchila Sheefshar Bezazvan Lisaba Karafter Chokha, the Od Yisharu is a Minutin Litosefet Shabbat. So if you do the quick math, right? So 419 at 11 minutes, that takes us to 430. Shkia's at 432. Rav Moshe is assuming that 2 minutes are more than sufficient for this additional obligation. Not just in terms of his shita, but again, the humility of Rav Moshe on display is just really very beautiful. If you take a look at the end again, he concludes, he circles back, Yitidau, Hamivarcho, Bizchud Mitzvah HaTochecha. Rav Moshe says, you want to give Tochacha? This is how you give Tochacha. Right, this is Rav Moshe giving, right? This is, right, that guy, when he spoke to Rav Moshe, he hit him over the head. Right, when Rav Moshe, Rosh Hashiva, the Posek Ador in America, gives Tochacha to this, you know, Rabbi Moshe Metzger, so this is how he does it, right? In this, with this gentle tshuva, Yididam Baruch Hu B'Zchut Mitzvah HaTochecha, Shekiyim L'Chvod Hashem Yisvarach, right? And so from, V'Lechvod HaShabbat Kodesh L'Shefa Baruch Hu Shabbat Yidei Kiyum, Shira HaShabbat L'Sukkot HaShalom Moshe Feinstein. I love this one. But in any case, so it's a keeper, but for our purposes, it's also a keeper, and then I think he fills in that view of the rush, that it would be just 2 minutes. Moving along the spectrum, there are those who require a larger amount of time. It does go up to the 18 minutes. The 18 minutes are complicated. We don't have to go into all the calculations right now, but essentially the 18 minutes come from really not pure Tosefet Shabbat so much as a chumrah for the shita of the Yireyim and the minimum amount of a mil, who has a different calculation than some of the other Rishonim. The Gemara talks about 3/4 of a mil amount of time prior to Shkia, and he understands a mil to be 24 minutes against the 18 minutes of others, and it ends up being 18 minutes prior to Shkia when you finish up with the calculation. So the 18 minutes actually comes not so much from pure Tosefet Shabbat, but rather from a chumrah in regard to the shita of the Yireyim for when Shabbat actually begins. That said, there are some poskim who speak about 18 minutes, not only is that chumrah, but also as a fulfillment of Tosefet Shabbat. As we'll see in a moment, that linkage or that equation between being machmir for the earliest time for the Yisur Melacha and Tosefet Shabbat, that linkage is not obvious, but it's going to be contingent on what are indeed the roots or the foundations for Tosefet Shabbat. More on that in just a moment. If you continue along the spectrum, there is one other view, the 40 minutes, not so much, but in the Rishonim, interestingly enough, there's one other view. The Shita Mekubet said in the Sugan Beitzan Daf Lamed Amud Aleph that we had mentioned, where the Gemara seems to indicate again that Tosefet is a chi of Minat Torah, because the Gemara says that you have to give Tochacha even though the individual won't listen. And that would seem to indicate that it's a chiyuv min haTorah. So in that context, the Shita Mikubetza there on the spot quotes the view of the Ri, who maintains it's half an hour. Chatzisha. Because it isn't set. So what do you say? Nice round number. Good, so this goes to Josh's question. Where else do we find the half an hour? Okay. A really, really, really short day. What about half an hour? Good. All right. We have this notion of not eating, related to mincha, but separate, not eating within a half an hour of the beginning of Zman Chiyuv, lest one get distracted, otherwise engaged, not come to fulfill the mitzvah.
So it's like the almost time, like as it represents?
Yeah. So the way that I've heard a number of people put it is that the chatzi sha'a is almost within the time frame of something that's upcoming, or sort of a minimum substantial unit of time as we anticipate or look towards something, right? So it doesn't work as well in terms of the Nero Hanukkah, right? There would be not anticipating, but rather on the other end. But in other words, right, the half an hour before an event of significance, we already have a halachic obligation to prepare for, right? At that point, we're looking toward. It's almost akin to the notion that the week is divided into two, right? The first half of the week is retrospective, the second part of the week is prospective in relation to Shabbat, the notion you can recite Haftalah, maybe recite Shnai Mikra, and so on and so forth until Tuesday, and that one can already prepare, or Simchat Torah, as the case may be, Rabbi Simcha for Chatanim, or educators for that matter, in general. And then you have the notion that one can begin to prepares for Shabbat, starting from Yom Revi'i. So whether that be in terms of Kvod Shabbat, preparations, one gets a haircut, etc., there's room to say that those preparations are in fulfillment of Kvod Shabbat already from Yom Revi'i, whether it be in terms of the Isurim to be Maflig B'Sfina, and other acts that are preparatory. So the Baal Maor has a famous position in which he says that the reason I'm not allowed to ascend on the ship within the 3 days of Shabbat is because by ascending the ship, I'm going to be obligated, I'll be liable to come to, quote-unquote, violate Shabbat, Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, when I'm on my cruise or whatever that may be. He says, well, once you're there, it's acceptable, Mishum Pikuach Nefesh. Do I need to anticipate that? In other words, do I need to avoid being maflig b'svina, knowing that that will lead me to a scenario in which I will have to come to violate Shabbat in order to sustain myself? He says, right, and that makes certain assumptions probably about the nature of pikuach nefesh being more of a dichoy rather than a hotra, etc. So he says, well, I need to be conceptually concerned, I need to be looking toward Shabbat within those 3 days. So 3 days that anticipate Shabbat, there are certain ramifications to that. So similarly, mashal ma'adavar damen, a smaller scale, the unit of a half an hour is a time in which, in a more immediate sense, I need to be looking toward, preparing for, anticipating a Shabbat. In terms of Tosefet, that could be as well. It's interesting to know, what's the minimum Shir Min HaTorah of Tosefet Shvi'i? Bizman Shavit HaMikdash HaYakayam. Yeah, it's 30 days, right? 30 days, Min HaTorah. Then there's the rabbinic overlay in the first two Prakim Masechet Shvi'i of Pesach and Shavuot, depending on whether it's right to stay Alavan or stay Ilan, etc. But Min HaTorah, we assume the Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai at least, is 30 days. So this unit of 30 in preparation, and again, the connections that we've mentioned already between Shvi'i and Shabbat are interesting in this context as well. So that seems to be the more substantial amount of time. We generally assume somewhere between a kol shivim and the 2 minutes. Many of them might bid for 2 minutes. We don't assume the 30-minute shiur, but that seems to be the range of views that is out there. And the question is, what underlies this debate? What are the conceptual underpinnings? So I think that it goes to a core question in terms of how we understand Tosefet Shabbat. In other words, do we understand Tosefet Shabbat as a positive value in of itself? Or is Tosefet Shabbat really to be understood as merely a way of avoiding, right, coming to a scenario in which I would violate Shabbat, right? To avoid chilul, right? To avoid essentially chilul Shabbat. So this more sort of conservative view, it's really just to provide a fence, lest one come to violate Shabbat, right? Might seem to account for some of the smaller periods of time. So for example, if you take a look, I brought it up here, there's a classic of Rashi, Al HaTorah, at the beginning of Perek Bet of Bereishit, Rashi comments on the pasuk Vayichal Elokim Bayom Hashvi'i. This Rashi is often quoted in context of the mitzvah of Tosefet, and so he quotes the Midrash Halacha, Rabbi Shimon, Midrash Halacha, Midrash Agada, that Rabbi Shimon Omer Basar Vadam Shein. Right, there's no Midrash Halacha on Bereishit. Rabbi Shimon Omer Basar Vadam Sheino Yodei Yitav Uregaav Tzarich Lehosif Michol Al Hakodesh. Right, similar to Moshe Rabbeinu Kachatzot Halayva, that whole idea. Right, so here too, right, human being does not know the exact right time with precision. Right, so therefore, Tzarech Losif Michol Al Hakodesh. Kadosh Baruch Hu Shiyodei Yitavu Rgaav Nichnas Bo Kichut Hasara V'Nir Ek Ilu Kala Bayom. So in other words, it's explaining Vayechal Lokim Bayom Hashvi'i. That right question is, that's bothering Rashi. Right, what do you mean? Right? Vayichal Elokim Bayom HaShvi'i, right? It's Kadosh Baruch Hu finished all that malacha prior to the Yom HaShvi'i. So he says, it's true what you say, but it appears to humanity, given our limitations, right? And given our reliance even on atomic clocks, our times are ultimately imprecise. And then Rashi puts the bar acher, Maya ha'olam chaser minucha, v'atshuvah b'minucha, kaltav v'nigram l'cha, the notion that the alternative response of resolution of Rashi is that in fact, Kadosh Baruch Hu's work continued, the creative activity continued on the seventh day, minucha is considered a creation in its own right. So the two views in Rashi, some have suggested, may be contingent on this question. The first Rashi can be brought to bear as a suggestion that since in Adam Yodea Yitavu Rugav, and our sense of time is imprecise, in a sense, by the way, ironically, even though we have all these modern instruments, in a sense, our sense of time is actually much less precise, I think, than it once was. I think a lot of these conversations about Zman Netila, I don't mean that when you look, you're actually off, but I mean to say that our intuitive sense of time is much less precise than it once was. And the whole notion of Zmanim, right, it's not a modern phenomenon fully, but all these debates, you'll notice, really begin, right, in the modern era when we begin to have the ability to, historically, you can actually chart it, the Vilna Gaon, all these discussions, around the time that we begin to have mechanisms to tell time that move beyond the sundial and just the intuition of someone who lives more in and with nature than we certainly do in our day and age. And so it's just an interesting larger observation about how Zman Tefillah is, I don't want to say fully is a modern construct, but I want to say certainly a lot of the modern conversations are associated with the fact that we have a much more scientific or sort of almost artificial way of telling time that's not as natural for our existence. So if we hold perhaps the Kol Shehu position or the 2 minutes and so on and so forth, it's possible that that is more aligned with this view. Certainly if we say, and certainly the view of those who sit linked between Tosefet and the view of the Urayim, what are they saying? Why 2 minutes? They're saying the whole notion of Tosefet Shabbat is to make 100% halachically sure that we don't come to violate Nisur Skila. So if you associate that with the view of the Urayim, essentially we're saying that is the very essence and nature of Tosefet Shabbat. Whereas if you say certainly something like the Re, much more substantial amount of time, it's pretty clear that that's not just lest one come to make a mistake, and that would be rooted in an approach that views Tosefet as a value in its own right. What would be the value of Tosefet in its own right? So we won't develop it fully today, but certainly you can begin to see ideas about the human, right? I think that would be the way to go, and very moving idea, the notion that, yes, it's true that Shabbat of all the Kiddushot that has been created is Kviyah V'Kaim, as the Gemara says, Masechet Beitzah, that's why I say Mekadesh Shabbat, as opposed to Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim, but even with regard to Shabbat, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the primary creator, even halachically, of that sanctity, Kadosh Baruch Hu permits and requires of us to give our own human input and to partner with him by being proactive and introducing the Kiddushah at an earlier stage. The Rav develops this idea with regard to Kiddush, that it's not just that we are meant to recognize the existing Kiddushah, but actually by reciting or fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush and Shabbat, we're actually adding another dimension of sanctity. It's like Rabbi Yaakov says that there's a mitzvah to be Mekadesh, the Bechor Behima Tohora that is born. The Gemara in Bechorot and the Fjord, and that you're really being Mekadesh, you're not just, right? And Lechora, the animal already has sanctity. This is an animal, the Bechor Behimah Torah is being brought on the Mizbeach, and yet Rabbi Yaakov says there's a mitzvah to be Mekadesh, so it's very much the same idea here as well. And there's other evidence for this idea, for example, from the Ramban and Maharam Chalav and Masechab Sachim, who use the mitzvah to be Mekadesh, Yovel, and Yom Tov as a sort of a parallel to the mitzvah of Kiddush and Shabbat, which is a parallel which seems difficult unless we say that just as Beit Din is responsible, has both the capacity and the obligation to sanctify and to actually introduce the sanctity of the Yovel, much like Yom Tov, so too with regard to Kiddush and Shabbat. So I think that would be a direction. If we had more time, we could develop it more fully. The Rav has a lot of beautiful things to say about this idea in particular. But that would be, I think, a way to go. Okay, so that's with regard to the minimum amount of time. What I want to touch on now is the question of what exactly is it that we are doing, and I think it's actually conceptually connected to the previous discussion as well. What do I mean by that? And so there's a range of possibilities with regard to what exactly it means to accept, let's say, Shabbos early. What does that mean? All right, is it just that we are adding an Isur Melacha? is it that we are treating it fully as if it is Shabbos, not just with regard to Isurei Melacha, but in the full sense, full halakhic sense of the term, all the mitzvot lo taseh, all the mitzvot taseh, etc.? Or is it that we're going even further, a third possibility, right? Even though this is usually presented as a binary chakira, sometimes, I don't know, back, this is like a pet peeve from like 15 years ago, I'm like already into place, but like all these binary questions that are actually, I think, more complex. And in this case, it seems to me that there are three possibilities. The third one would be that, no, it's not just that we perform all the actions that would be appropriate in Shabbat, but we're actually changing the date on the calendar. It's no longer Friday, it's now Shabbat, it's no longer, right, what's today, the 26th day of Adar, whatever it is, right, it's no longer, right, Chav Vav Adar, it's Chav Zayin, or whatever it may be, right, or this week it would no longer be the month of Adar at all, it would actually be the month of Nisan, and so on and so forth. So how dramatic is this? And again, it's possible it's connected to some of those, to those questions that we raised earlier, though not 100%, but I think it might be possible to say that if it's just a chumrah, less this is Shabbat, that might be a less far-reaching ramification. We're not actually doing anything conceptually to shape this day. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not empower us to change the date in the calendar. All he does is ask us to be particularly careful with regard to mitzvah of Shabbat. But if we say that actually Kadosh Baruch Hu granted us the power to transform this time, you don't have to say it in that way, right? But it lends itself more towards saying that actually, right, we have the capacity as human beings to literally change the date on the calendar. So I think that that's where these two issues may be conceptually linked and share the same roots in terms of the basis for this mitzvah. Yeah, go ahead.
This is connected all to the Rambam saying that you can say Kiddush before, like if you call it, if you take the third view or maybe even the second view, that the Shabbat is Shabbat, would that help bridge the Rambam? You can say Kiddush during that Tosefet time because it is Shabbat?
Well, but again, for the Rambam, we wouldn't take this idea just in the sense the Rambam seems to be operating outside of Tosefet Shabbat. And you're right, for the Rambam Kiddush, you wouldn't say this idea, presumably. Right? And so for the Rambam Kiddush, the Rambam Kiddush doesn't start Shabbat at all. It's a way of declaring the sanctity of the day that is this, the imminent day.
It's coming.
Right. Kiddush is really, there are a lot of beautiful things to say about Kiddush for the Rambam, but I don't think that that launch, that beginning the sanctity is one of them. I think that's the point. Rama makes it quite clear that it does not start the day.
And it doesn't start the Kiddush.
You could probably do Malacha for the Rambam after saying Kiddush.
Yeah.
What? Probably. I mean, it doesn't say so, but. Mi kara din. Okay. Now this question, in terms of how far-reaching is what we are doing, has some really interesting ramifications. I'm going to give three cases, three interesting discussions among the Rishonim that bear upon this issue. And some of them are fairly well known. The first one we'll start with just a point from our Sugya, and then we'll give those three. In our Sugya, the Gemara already begins to probe the outer limits as to how far-reaching the Tosefet is. The Gemara... First, the Gemara talks about Yisur Malacha. There's a long discussion in the Gemara about Yisur Malacha. The Gemara's conclusion is that once there is a bona fide Tosefet, Yisur Malacha is Chal. But the Gemara does discuss the question of Kiddush. The Gemara poses two possibilities in that regard, and the Gemara's conclusion is, in fact, that one does recite, one is able to recite Kiddush during this time period. But you start to see that our Gemara is already beginning to ask questions such as, well, how fully is this Shabbat? What actions can I not perform? What actions can I perform? And so on and so forth in terms of Kiddush. Kiddush is discussed. What about the Seudah? Right, so that doesn't appear in our Gemara explicitly, but there is an interesting discussion at the beginning of Inyana Dioma, within Shloshim Yom, right? Arvei Pesachim, right? Because right there you have Arvei Pesachim, Samachu Mincha, right? So you're not allowed to, right? You're not allowed to eat, etc. And as part of that, right? Lo yochal et shechashecha, and we assume chashecha refers to Tzedako Chavim, right? In other words, that you have to wait fully until the day begins in order to recite Kiddush. So this becomes a relevant discussion. If you take a look, this I have here. Somewhere, one second.
You'd only be able to start a Suda if you hold by the week who has half an hour. Otherwise,
There's no discussion.
You can't.
It's on page 3. What? Say again?
You can't have. If we're talking about the time between a kosher up to 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
that's how long it takes to say kiddush. Like, only if you say a half an hour can you even ask the question, can you have a student during the time?
No. Just to be clear, there's a difference between what we were discussing until now is what is the minimum amount of time necessary to add. What we haven't really discussed is what is the maximum amount. How early can I start?
Okay,
so
okay.
We assume plaga mincha. So that you're well over the half an hour. The Bach even suggests you can go even earlier in the day. Tani wanted to have Shabbos all Friday when I was in Moshe Vali used to sing, right? Shabbos every single day. But that's the discussion. So you take a look on page 3 of the source sheet. So you have the Mishnah that Arvei Pesachim Arecha Ansaritenu Bet Pesachim that Arvei Pesachim Semichul Inchal Yochal Adam Shetech Shach and so on and so forth. And then the Gemara cites the halacha that the Tanya Lo Yochal Adam Arvei Shabbatov Yamim Tovim Min Hamincha Ulemala and so on and so forth. So Tosos discusses this sugya. He wants to know whether this is a particular halacha to the Leil HaSeder. And it's associated in this photo. Rather, this is a general halakha that lo yochal adam shetech shach that applies to all yomim tovim. And Tosfot actually has two opinions on this issue. The first view, the Rimi Korvil, maintains that this is particular to the mitzvah of matzah, especially the gabei matzah, third line, the gabei matzah davka bo'ina nad shetech shach. And he cites a Tosefta to that effect, and it's based on a hekesh between the mitzvot halayla and the korban pesach. But then he quotes another view among the Balei Tosa, Rabbi Yehuda Tirates, the bottom underline there. And so on and so forth. The truth is that this is a halakha that is relevant to Shabbatot and Yamim Tovim as well. And there's a particular reason that the Mishnah felt the need to teach it here in regards to details concerning the Shechita, Korban Pesach, and so on and so forth. So the bottom line is there emerge two views among Tosho, whether the halakha of Lo Yechal Adam HaShetech Shach applies only to the Leil HaSeder because of its particularities, or it applies to Shabbatot and Yamim Tovim as well. If you take a look at the Rush explicitly in Perek Yud Halakha Bet in Pesachim explicitly extends this to the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat as well. And so in explaining the first view, he writes, Afal gavdir v'shabbatot v'shar yamim tovim yachol lehosif min achol al hakodesh v'lechol kodem shetech shach and so on and so forth. And he quotes our Gemara, right? Tfilat HaShachar, mitpalel adam shel shabbai v'er shabbai v'yomer kiddush al hakodesh v'er pesach lo matzi achil ad shetech shach and so on and so forth. So says the Rashi explicitly that this, right, this view is concerned with the question of Tosefet Shabbat and Tosefet Yom Tov. In other words, what emerges from the Rush's presentation of the two views in Tosfot, essentially what you have are two views in Tosfot as to whether, as a general matter, Tosefes Shabbat and Tosefet Yom Tov allow one to eat even earlier than Ad Shetech Shach, or no. Even though it's true that I can recite Kiddush earlier and I can, to some extent, start the day previously, nonetheless, that does not allow me to go ahead and to eat the Seudat Shabbat and the Seudat Yom Tov. What's the underlying Nekudat HaMachloket? It would seem that this is contingent on the three positions or possible positions that we outlined earlier. If one maintains that you're just starting the Isur Melacha and that's the only thing that begins, then obviously you'd need to wait until it becomes dark, until it's a full-fledged day of Shabbat. But if I maintain that I'm adding not only Isurim Melacha but the Mitzvot HaYom as well, and certainly if I say that I have the capacity to transform the date on the calendar, so then one would side presumably with the position that this is already a particular halakha to the Leil HaSeder, and it does not apply here. Truth is that even if you say that it's, you have the ability, even if you say this latter position, take the view that that it's particular to the first position, Tosas, that you have to wait just with regard to the Leil HaSeder and the Matzah, it's still a little bit difficult to understand that view in connection with the really ambitious interpretation. If you're really able to transform the day on the calendar, can you really say this? That's going to be important for us as we move forward. All right, not so sure.
Well, I mean, you can still say that it's, you know, like if we're talking about Friday. So, in Achnami, it's really not Friday anymore,
mm-hmm.
but it still needs to be dark out in order to constitute, like, you know, your suits.
So mm-hmm. you can still work it out so that the day is transformed. It's just that you need another factor, and that's a din in mm-hmm. pay cell stuff.
Right. That might be a way out of it. Okay. Good. All right. Two other issues I want to get to quickly with the limited time that we have. And there are two classic debates between the Taz and the Maharshal that both go to Sefer Shabbat and Sefer Yom Tov. These are some of the better known sources in connection with our sugya. The one about the first one, which is about eating on Lel Shmini Atzeret, is reproduced on page 7. A long Taz at the beginning of some tough Reish Samechet in Orach Chaim, and I'll give you the outside version. He quotes the Tshuva of the Maharshal in Siman Samechet, in which essentially the Maharshal claims that on the night of Shmini Atzeret, one must fast. There's an Isra Achila, not the whole night, but until Tzed HaKochabim. Right, why is there an Isra Achila until Tzed HaKochabim? Right? Certainly with regard to food that would be need to be eaten in the Sukkah. Right, minimum. Right, it says because we have a Sfig of the Yomats, Tzeda Kochabim. We don't know which day it is. If it's day 7, so then I have to eat in the Sukkah. If it's day 8, so then what? So then, right? Sorry, if it's day 7, I need to eat it. Not only do I need to eat it, but I need to recite the bracha of Leishit Basukkah. Right? But if it's day 8, so he's assuming, like Gemara says, that, right? Yitubi Yatvinam Bruchel and Mevarachinam. So I need to sit, but it would be a bracha levatala. It would be problematic to recite a bracha. We don't know what to do. It's a, right? It's a suffix of Tzedakah. Right? It's a suffix during, right? During, Tzedakah Chavim, and then Minashmasho. Right? And therefore, one would not be permitted to eat at that time. And in fact, his language explicitly is, he says, "Ve'in lomar." Third line down. Ve'itaz, quoting the Maharshal's tshuva. Ve'in lomar dechim demosav mechol hakodesh imkin avar hayom. Don't tell me that the previous day has ended and that it's not day 7. It's entirely day 8 because I have accepted Shmini Atzeret. I have performed Tosefet Yom Tov. Ze'ino. Says Nihi granted the Mosifin a bitzfila k'dashkan rav tzol yishol shabbat berav shabbat avolo la'asot laila. And his evidence is that you can't have a marav in his view until it's fully night. So that's the claim of the Maharshal, and that's how he invents his quasi fast. And the Taz says in the bold after about 15-16 lines down, Elu divrei Rav Rashal v'avshi mishivin hari achar moto. Right, you know that any time someone quotes the Gemara that in mishivin hari achar moto, they're doing so in order to then disagree with them, right? He says, "V'kav v'chomer b'shu al kamoni," and all the more so, right? Right, little me, mikom makom achaved da'ati, that he's completely wrong, and it's the most absurd thing they've ever heard in my life, right? Shadivir rab me'otz muhin bina dat, right? In that sovlan and so on and so forth. And he says, it's because after all we know that Tosefes is a chi of min haTorah, and he goes so far as to say at the bottom, Ove emet svarasha benah rav alav uinu kiyum klal d'vada mishemosav mechol hakodesh hu osa al pitzli vui toratenu kvar chalaf v'halach mimenu chuvat hayom ashaya alav kodem v'hava kemo balayla umachar mamash. Right? Mamash, right? Not in the Chabad sense of the term, but literally, right? It's really essentially, for all halachic purposes, is it already the next day? And so therefore he says, there's no tarti de sasre, there's no issue of Benashmo showed, as it were, because, right, I don't have a Sfigat Yama anymore. I know, I have accepted this evening as Shmini Atzeret, and therefore the previous day has ended in its entirety. And
this only works for Malim de Gidusha. And you can't, like, decide that Wednesday is going to come sooner tonight. Just because, like, I'm going to start the day at 6:47 tonight.
Right. It's a particular halacha to Kiddusha.
For Kiddusha, right. Only for Kiddusha.
Yeah, that's what it's saying, which is, I think, a testament. Pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yes, 100%. This is paralleled by another classic debate, which has to do with the Chumrah of waiting until nightfall to daven Mariv on the night of Shavuot. Right? Anyone familiar with this Chumrah? Right? Many shuls have it, right? You get to shul, right? And then, right, you're supposed to, you're waiting to stay up all night long. But you didn't know that you're going to get hit for a shiur. Right? Yeah, something like that. Right. I think it's like this conspiracy the rabbis have to get people to stay up all night, so figure if they get home late, they won't fall asleep, whatever it may be. But be that as it may, there's a real halachic basis for it, and the Shulchan Aruch even paskens this chumrah of the Taz. And essentially what it is, it's the Shulchan Aruch is page 8, it's the beginning of Sin Taf Saridal, which is Hilchot Leil HaShavuot. And essentially what the Taz claims is that there is a requirement of Tmimot on throughout the course of the period of Sfirat HaOmer, and that essentially what I am doing is I am violating Sheva Shavuot Tmimot if I daven Marah, if I accept Shavuot early. That's the claim of the Taz. And again, the Maharshal disagrees, and others disagree as well. So again, what seems to underlie the view of the Taz here, in an ironic way, it works in it's kind of right here. His concern is not so much that I'm beginning the new day. The point is that I am ending the day before. And so the question is, assuming that there's this notion of Tmimot in this sense, which itself is far from obvious, but taking that for granted for our purposes, am I cutting off the day before, essentially, right, by accepting the new day? So the Taz l'shitato seems to be assuming that, essentially, it's not just that I'm accepting the practices of the new day, but in a sense I've cut short the final hours of Sfirat HaOmer. Those moments never had the opportunity to conclude. Assuming that Tmimot means 24 full hours and not just full days, whatever I have of those days, but complete days, I didn't give it the opportunity to have a complete day. That seems to be the view of the Taz. I know Josh has thrown to share. Let me just finish this sugya very quickly with just a quick thought from the Sridi Eish, from Yaakov Weinberg and his famous Tshuvot Sridi Eish. So he has an interesting tshuva about the Chiyuv of Nashim B'Tosefet Shabbat. Are women obligated? Is a mitzvah to say Shazman Grava? Says at first glance he would think so, but he brings evidence. In fact, women are obligated. And his question is why? Goes to the sugya in Sukkah, which also discusses Ha'ezrach and women's obligation as well. So he wants to know essentially why is this not a mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat? It's a very beautiful idea. I think is worth taking a look at the tshuva inside. And his suggestion is that there's not a particular mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat. He claims that there's a mitzvah of Tosefet Kiddusha. There's a mitzvah of Tosefet Kiddusha in all areas of halacha where that is a possibility. And that has various applications in particular contexts. Shabbat, Yom Tov, Bechor, whatever it may be. In all these contexts, there is a mitzvah. Since the essential mitzvah is not time bound, but is an overarching mitzvah, and there, right? It says like a nice vort, but it says it in a tshuva. He says, therefore, it is not considered to be a mitzvah to say shazman grama. There's more there. It's a really interesting tshuva, and I think the idea behind it is a very moving idea and fits nicely, dovetails nicely with what the Rav says as well. In other words, this notion that there is an opportunity, a requirement for us to not only passively accept what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, but to proactively partner with him and actually maybe even transform the day on the calendar by accepting the sanctity early. And the notion that's not particular to any one day, to Shabbat, Yom Tov, etc., but that sort of is a larger mission of ours as Jews, and that just has various applications in particular contexts, but in its essence, in its halachic essence, that really is a universal command. So just some food for thought. Okay, we're going to stop here, albeit... we've only touched on the sugya, but hopefully some of the basics, and we'll move on to the next sugya, God willing, next week.